Kum lernen a blad gemara, mitzvei Shabbos, and Erech Chedesh, the Sivan. We are up to the Ayin Ches Omer Aleph, and the two dots, about six lines from the top. The Mishnah is continuing to give us different measurements for different substances. What is the choshev amount that you carry that we say as a minimum Yechayiv on Shabbos? So, says the gemara, Mayim, how much water, the Mishnah, quoting the Mishnah, how much water should he carry? All liquids we say is a revius, practically, except a few exceptions, like we had the Mishnah milk, where you swallow a mouthful. Wine, the quarter of a revius is the amount, you know, intense wine that you need to mix it. And honey, we said to the abrasions of a camel to smear on it. And oil, we said, the last thing we learned was to smear a small limb of a child a day old. And then when it comes to water, instead of a revius, it says enough to mix into this paint that you put over your eyes. Omar Abai, Abai makes the following statement. Mechdi, let us see. Kol milsa de shchicha velo shchicha. Let's say you have a substance that you use it generally for one way, but you also use it sometimes for another way. Then azul rabban and basar shchicha will always follow that particular item, the substance, what most people use it for, even if it comes out as a lekula, even though now it's a larger quantity. But if that's what the majority of people use it for, then that's the choshev amount, and that's the amount you can only carry on Shabbos. What about shchicha u'shchicha? What about, the Gemara will spell out soon which cases, what about shchicha u'shchicha? What happens if it's common to use it for two purposes? Then we'll always be more machmir and take the smaller amount that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So yayin, wine. Shtiyasa shchicha. Why? Primarily is used to drink. And to use it, to mix it now, when, with this paint that you use on your eye, you have to put a liquid in. It doesn't have to be water. It could be milk. It could be wine. Sometimes you use wine. But it's not that common. Therefore, it's not shchiyach to use wine. So also for kilo. So we're not going to look at wine and say, oh, the amount you use for the paint, but rather we'll follow the normal amount that you use for drinking the shchicha, that is shchiyach. And the kula, it turns out to be, it's a kula because it's a larger quantity. Chola, when it comes to milk, again, achilos shchicha, most people consume it as, you know, to drink, whatever, but if it was shchicha, to mix it in with this paint, it's not shkiach, so therefore, again, we use the larger amount, we said, what you normally drink down in one gulp. So we go after the achila lekula. Dvash, honey, when it comes to honey, there, they're both common. What do you mean? Achilos shchicha, it's, you eat it, but also the fuas shchicha. Also common to use as a refuah, because for a camel, the only thing that you can use for its soles for abrasions is honey. Now, even though you generally use it, you'll use honey more for drinking or eating than for putting on a camel, but since when you need it for a camel, that's the only thing you can use, it's considered shchiach. So again, azul rabbanan basar fuasa l'chumra, will follow whichever was more chumra, the smaller amount. Elamayim, our problem is water. Mechdi, shchiyasa d'shchicha, most people use water to drink. It doesn't. What are you saying? The refuah of water is by mixing it with this, you know, paste that you put on your eyes. But that paste, you don't have to use water. You can use wine. You can use milk. So therefore, as far as the refuah is concerned, it's not a shkiach. Is my time ozer abon and boser force el chumras. Why, when it comes to water, suddenly we're machmir, even a small quantity is awesome. Omar Abai answers, you're right, but we're talking about a region, Beglulishan, where the people are poor and they couldn't afford wine or milk, so therefore they use water. But you're right, in other places where they can use wine and milk, then water taka would go back to revert to the share of revius. And the Rav says, no. Even if you say other places, still people would rather use water than wine and milk. And why is that? Kiddush Shmuel is follow Shmuel. What does Shmuel say? To Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, "Kol shakyoni masi, all liquids will take, will be therapeutic, will heal. But umetale, because they're thick, they leave some kind of a paste on your eye itself, and therefore like a forms a shadow, and therefore it's very inconvenient. Levam emay, except water, demasu, it cures v'loy metale, doesn't leave any shadow or anything else." And therefore, people would rather use water, so water is the most common form. That's why water is not a revius, but we say we follow the smaller amount. Says Yom HaVashar Kol Mashavir, but all other liquids not itemized in the Mishnah, it's a revius. Tell them what we learned. Dan, what about blood, v'chomin, and mashkin, any other liquid, but revius. Rab Shimon ben Elazar, Rab Shimon ben Elazar says, dam, you know, but it comes to blood, k'dei lichom mayach, when it comes to blood, it's be'ayin achas. That why? When it comes to blood, we say that it's not the amount of revius, but rather It's when you used to paint one particular eye. One eye. Says the Gemara. She came. Why is that? Because Koichli and Lebarkis, they would use his blood for a refuah. With a barkish, if you have a little thing growing in your eye, you would use that. Something that's sticking out, like a growth on your eye, sticking out, they would use blood. Umayni, you, what is this? Where do they get this blood from? It's not every blood, but domada tanagoylibra. From an outside hen, a loose hen that's outside or like wild, that's where they get the blood from. Rab Shimon says, damn blood, licha by ainachas. The blood that you use for one eye, there's a blood. Again, but the shear is enough to paint for one eye. Why? She can quickly in the yarud. That they use it for a yarud, which Rashi says is the little white dots on your eye, or another person Rashi is a cataract on your eye. My knee, what do they use for that? Dhamma de Krishtina. Blood from a bat. Or others say from like a weasel or something, other thing, but blood from a bat. Visimanach, and if you want to remember, Gavoi, the one who has a problem in the inner part of the eye, which is like the white dots on the eye itself or the cataract, is the Gavoi. They go through a bat, which also generally is domestic. Or there's other, the weasel, the mole, which is hanging around your house. And bra, the growth that sticks out of your eye, is libra. They go, for the outside of your eye, libra, they use that hen, the outside hen. Now then the Braisa continues. When is all this said? B'moitzi, if you are taking it outside, that's when you have the shiurim or the smaller shiurim. Avu b'matzniya kol shulchai. When do we have all of these minimum shiurim for stop a person carrying it? So this is the minimum chashivas. But if you put it aside, then even the there's no minimum. If that's what you put aside, it's chashiv for you, chayiv. Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon says, Amedvaram, when is all this said b'matzniya? Rav Shimon says, when is all this said b'matzniya? Only if you are hiding it, avol b'moitzi l'chayel v'faket. These smaller quantities are only for people to put it aside. But stam, even these items like milk and wine, always levius. Avol moitzi l'chayel levius. So he holds that all of these amounts that we just reduced from a levius to smaller amounts is only if you're matzniya. For you, it's chashiv. You show that it's chashiv. But stam, everything is levius. That we agree that there is one thing that the tak is a revi is the moitzi shreifchim shesrabim throughout you know waste and shesrabim sheshiyur revi is and bshir is a revi. Okay, now let's analyze the brayser for a minute. Amamar, so we have this machlekes. Amamar, we learn by medram what you just said. For when is all this talking about? The first opinion says the moitzi. If you when you say these minimum quantities, if you stamp take out, avol b'matzni. If you set it aside, kosher. There's no minimum. Now luchayda setting it aside, you're not chay until you take it out. So the distinction or the difference, the contrast shouldn't be between a matzniya and a moitzi. It should be between a matzniya and a loy matzniya. In both cases, you're a moitzi. Just because you put something aside doesn't make you chayiv. You have to then take it outside. So instead of saying matzniya versus moitzi, you should say matzniya versus loy matzniya. Fadi Gemara, av matzniya, otu matzniya, la moitzi. He's not chayiv until he's moitzi. So what's going on here? Omer Abayi said, we're going here, we're going to say it's Abshimon, Abshimon is Abshimon Elazar. Who he says before we learn that if you're matzniya, the Tanakhama said if you're matzniya, then only the person who is matzniya, for him the smaller amount is chashev and he's chayev. For everybody else, we use a standard amount. Rav Shimon Loza says that if somebody's matzniya and another person carries it out, he now is carrying out something which is more chashev than the standard, and he is chayev with the machshava of that other person. For example, a Talmud, a student, that is, let's say his apprentice, his master told him, go out there and set, you know, set a place for me on the table. He went and he moved over Choshev. And he carried something Choshev, l'kol chayiv, dover she'enu Choshev l'kol. So something which, if he carried a larger amount, which is Choshev for everybody, of course it's chayiv. If he carried an amount which is smaller, which is not Choshev everybody, then it depends. If his master set it aside, then even though he's the one who's carrying it and he has no particular thoughts of his own, mechayva is chayv, because he is carrying, because his master set it aside, and if he's carrying it now, he already has a chashivas, that particular thing. But if not, loy mechayv. So in other words, this is what we're saying. It's Abshim Lelozer who's saying that if one person puts a machshava on it and puts it aside, then everybody else follows that particular machshava. What value does it have at all? Why should it be chayv at all? What can you do with revius? You can use it to be megabal the to go ahead and to knead a cement. That's what it's good for. Says the Gemara of Tanya, didn't we learn that tit kedei lasas ben pikur, how much cement should you carry? So they had a thing called, you know, a big pot that they used to use to heat up metal, a crucible. And they used to put a lid on top of it. And they used to make a hole in that lid. And they used to be very, very tight. And they used to make a hole in that lid. And then they would cover it with cement, which is a much smaller amount than the levius. So which one is it? It's a loikasha. Hod the megabel of the cement is already kneaded already, then even a small amount is chashuv. We're talking about if you haven't yet kneaded the cement and you have to go ahead and make the cement, then you need more water. You won't spend your time making such a small quantity. It's not worth the effort. You're not going to be matriach to go ahead and make cement for such a small amount just to cover a little tiny hole on this the lid of the crucible. So the mission now continues about different items, what the shear should be for carrying on Shabbos before you're liable. Hamoitzi chevel, if you carry a rope, is how big should be your lasses, oizen l'kupa, a rope enough to put it through the handle of a kupa to hold it, of a box. Gomi, what about rubber or reeds? Kede lasses, teloi l'nofo l'kibora. That is so same idea, but for a sieve, something which is much lighter, because a reed cannot take things which have big weights. Rabbi Huda says, "Kidei, you know what the size is? Kidei little mimeno midas manol the cotton. A parent would measure the child's feet, and they would to use this reed to measure, and then they would take the reed to the store and say, I need this size. And so therefore, that's the amount he says that you need. It's before you chayv on Shabbos. New York paper made out of grass. Kedei lichtiv olav keshem moichsin. They used to write on it a tax receipt. The government used to own the rivers, and you would have to go ahead and pay a tax, a toll, to go across the river. So you would pay the tax, or the government, you had a special pardon because you were a special citizen or something, and you had this document with a seal on it to show the tax collector that you either paid already or that you are exempt. And generally they will put just a little code, two letters, larger letters than normal. And that's the size of paper that you carry. It looks like it was very common in those days to carry these kind of documents. And if you carry such a document, so first we talk about the paper itself, and now we're talking about if you carry the document itself, you are chayv. And your mochuk, if you have an erased piece of paper, what can you do with it? You can't write on it, so what's the size? There it is, to wrap around a small jug, shall plighten from this balsamic oil. Oi, leather, how much are you not allowed to carry? They last as kameya. To wrap it around a kameya, which we had before was either herbs or different psukim or different things that you had written on it. Duchsuch says, now, we have the hide of an animal, we have generally three things. We have a duchsuchsus, we have a klaf, and we have a gvil. If you slice the hide of the animal in half, from the inner part of the inner hide, the side facing the external side, that's called duchsuchsus. The outer part of the hide, the part facing the inside, the inner, is called klaf. The entire hide is called gvil. So we'll see later in the Gemara what you write on a klaf and what you write on duchsuchsus. But most people are not great at duchsuchsus, later mezuzah, we'll skip that. Gemara we'll talk about later. Klaf, and tomorrow Gemara. Klaf, parchment, that's the outer one that you write on the inner side facing the flesh. Kedei lichtiv olav, what's the size of parchment to write on it? Parsha ktana shebet film, a very small parsha in film, which is Shema Yisrael. That's the smallest part. That's the size. Ink, kedei lichtiv beis oisius. Ink, how much ink should you know to carry? Enough to write the two letters, because in the Mishkan they used to write a letter on each of the kerashim to combine it together, or you write on different parts of a keli to remember which part goes where, so you number them, or write letters on them. Kechoyol, the paint you put on your eye, kedei lichtiv ayin achas, to paint one eye. Now, why one eye? Luchari, you normally paint two eyes. We'll see more later. Deve glue, kedei liten b'roish hashavshav, glue enough to put on the top of a stick or a board, and we'll see later in the matter what that board is used for. Zephes v'gofri, zephes is the residual of tar, pitch, the gufris and sulfur kedei lases nekev, to make a hole. And that is that they used to have, Rashi says, kesef chai, which is mercury. They used to have a very small little utensil to place mercury in it, and they used to seal the top, and then make with tar or sulfur. Then they make a tiny little hole, and in order to take it out if you need to take out, and then they would fill that tiny hole. It's the filling of that tiny hole. Shaiva wax, kedei liten al pi nekev katan wax, is to place on a tiny hole in a jug of wine, have a lid and have a little hole for the wine to come out, and they fill that with wax. Charosis, clay, or crushed brick, kedei lasais, to make pi koish al surface of. That they used to, again, they had this crucible to melt down the gold, and they used to be, it wouldn't be a very big keli, it would be very tight, so it gets really, really, really hot. When you want intense heat, this is what you do, and you cover it, and then you make a hole, and the crushed brick is what you fill that hole with. If you don't make it, the last is pitput. He says it's to make a tripod, which is obviously a bit bigger, so he's more mekel, with this crucible gesedah. Subin bran kedei liten al pikur shel tzeifer zav. Bran is people who couldn't afford coal or there was no access to coal, they would use bran to burn it. So the amount you would use for those who melt down gold in that crucible. Seed lime kedei losa ktana shel rabanus. Lime is enough to smear on the smallest limb of a girl. And why would you put lime? It's to remove the hair. Remove the hair of the girl. We'll see later what kind of girl, what we're talking about. And we'll see more in the next few days. Abhuda says, the reason is, no. You know how much lime? Not to remove the hair of one of the limbs of the girl, but rather, the lasses kalkal, in order to remove the hair from the temple, or to make, or flatten out the hair on the temples. And on the chemia, make they lasad undufi, which you might have two opinions later, but one of them is that the forehead, to clean out the hair from the forehead. Says the Gemara, chevel nami l'chayev kedei lasad tlei lefel kabota, since you talk about a gummy, and you say to make a handle, to hold on to the sieve, why don't you say that rope is the same thing? To hold on to the sieve. Why do you give a different, you say a kupa? Kivun the chorik b'mana la'av the incha, because the rope rubs against it, and therefore people generally don't use it for a sieve because it's light and it'll break. Okay. It says more right. Okay, so the rope would root it. As in the right, tell them we learned. Hutzin, that's part made out of palm, some of the branches. You see, the last is oizen lasalk kvifim mitzis. It's to be the handle or the ear for a basket that's made out of the bark of a palm tree. Sieve, what about the sieve that grows around the palm tree? Is achedim oidim, and we learned last time also that this bark, on this thing that grows around the palm tree, sometimes has like this material that looks like wool. Or some kind of vine that grows around it, and underneath the vine is some kind of wool. So what's the size that you can carry? They used to use it as a filter on a small little thing we used to pour the wine. They would use that as a filter. It would hold back the sediment and so on from entering into another keli. L'sadas ayayin, in order to cleanse the wine. Revav, let's say fats, kedei losuch tachet aspagin. You want to make a little piece of bread, a little biscuit, and you put it and attach it to the side of an oven so they put a little bit of oil on the side, it shouldn't burn. So that's the kind of amount of fats or oil that you would use. Aspagin tana, a small little aspagin, a little like a little matzah. The kamash yurik seller, the size of a coin seller. The tanya yurik gregis, the size of a gregis. Idividichach yurik, it's the same thing. Moichin katan. Or any other soft material like wool, kedei lasa is kaduk tana, to make a small bowl. The kamash yuri, what's the size of a small bowl? Keg is like a nut. New York paper, we said before, kedei lita bowl kashem oichsin, tana, we learned kama kashem oichsin, what's that size? Shtei oichsin, it's right, two letters on it. But minu, as a question, it says, no, but I say, hamoitsin, New York cholav, you carry out empty paper, im yesh boi, kedei lichtev, shtei oichsin, is two oichsin, something normal. Kashem oichsin is to write very big letters. And the other braisa seems to say, just writing any two letters, any size, chayiv, not the large letter, even like potter. How do we reconcile the two? Amar Rav Sheshes. When the braisa says, my shtei oisa, the braisa doesn't say small letters or average letters. They meant shtei oisa shel keshem oichsin. They meant taka, the two letters of the keshem oichsin. In other words, from this receipt, because that's what we mean. Okay. And the Rav says, no. There's a difference between a keshem oichsin and a normal paper. Shtei oises didon. You know, whenever you say two letters, it doesn't mean two letters. It means two letters and enough space, a margin, so you can hold on to it. Two letters and a margin. But the receipt from the tax collectors had no margin, because they used to put it on the open palm of the hand so they can show it from a distance. That's why they were large letters, and there was no margin. Rav Amar, you didn't need it for longevity, just for a short time. Rav Amar, Shtei oises didon ubeis achiza, and the margin. We used to put your hand on it. The Hainu Keshem Moichim, which is the exact same size as the Keshem Moichim, because they use larger letter, but no margin. So it's the same thing. So whenever it says two letters, it means two letters and a margin. Ask the mother a question. Let me ask you, make you ask a question. It says, but I say, how much in the Yom Yachol you found a raised piece of paper, Vishnah, Peru, and a paid off star, im yesh beloivin shalai. If in the white part of the star, this part of it was written and part of it is margin, you can still write on it. If there was sufficient space on the white part, could they licht of shtei oises to write two letters, or use the entire paper, could they licht lecha pishlich ritanash applied, to be able to stuff a bottle of balsam oil, chai v'chai. Now, it says two letters. Whenever it says two letters, it means larger letters than Shapit. No problem, same thing. So whenever it says two letters, it means two letters and a margin. So you can put your hand in it and hold it. The Hainu Keshem Meichsin, which is identical to Keshem Meichsin. So over here, when it says two letters, it means two letters and a margin to hold my hand in it. But what I need it for, since I have plenty more space on this paper, the part that was erased, why can't I put my hand on that? So therefore, it's a small, it's less than two letters. Is Hocha Beis Achizel Tzadir, Kasha Taka Kasha and Rav, who defines every time it says two letters, it means two letters and a margin. Here it doesn't, can't mean that. Tana Rabbi learned. If you take out this document for the bridge, for the toll on the bridge, because you need it. Once you sold it to the meichel, it has no value, then potter, materi, potter, because you're carrying something that has no value. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even you still need it even after you showed it. What's the crux of their argument? The chiluk is rehite muksa. Abaye says sometimes the people who ran out there who on the behalf of the on the behest of the tax collector on his behalf, and they would ask you to prove that you paid. So you and therefore the Abuda says we're worried about these people, so you always carry the document with you to show that you already had paid or you don't have to pay. And according to Tanakama, it hardly ever happens, and therefore when it does happen, you'll say, you know what, let's go back to the tax collector, I'll prove it to you that I paid. Even though it's a big tiche, it hardly ever happens. Rabbi says, no, moiches gadol and moiches katni kibinayim. Sometimes you have the main tax collector sits at home, and then you have, you know, he can't be bothered to personally attend the bridge as well every day, so he sends somebody else. That somebody else might not trust you that you paid off at the government house. So Kodav, he doesn't trust you, and therefore you have to schlep back to the government house. Therefore, you'd rather have this document to prove that you paid or that you don't have to pay. But according to Tanakama, he says that the government would give you some kind of a code or a message or password that when you would go to that guy on the bridge, you would tell the password, and usually they would accept it. No, we're talking about only one tax collector. So why do you need it once you showed it to him? Whenever he goes in the future to some other tax collector, if he can show them a document that this government trusted me, look what they gave me a document, it'll be easier for you to get such a document from others. Look at that. I am a person that works, that befriended the tax collector, and I get on well with them, especially if it was a gift that they gave it to you, you know, for nothing. Talking about carrying a document, if you're carrying a loan document, does it have value or not? Wasn't paid. Of course it has value. How are you going to collect your money without it? So you need it. Oh, but Misha Potter, once it was paid off, potter. What do you do with a document that was paid off? It has no value, so you are potter matater. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even once you paid off the document, it still has a use. With Misha Potter, it has a use. My Benayah, what are they arguing in? Oh, but Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, very simple. Osur lishois shtar perua ike Benayah. Are you allowed to continue and keep a shtar that was paid off in your house? Because we'll learn the Gemara Ksuvas, it says that you're not allowed to leave an avla al tashkin ba'olecha avla, and one of them is a sefer Torah shein muga, sefer Torah that's not been edited, and so another one is leaving a document that was paid off. So the malva can't continue keeping the document to use it on his bottle stopper, because you're not allowed to keep it. And the leiva doesn't want it either, because the leiva is scared he might lose it, and the malva will find it and collect him a second time. So there's no use for it. You can't leave it, so therefore you get rid of it. You're allowed to, so therefore you can use it as a bottle stopper. Abai says, no, Kuli alma osul lishay shtar perua. Everyone knows you're not allowed to keep such a document. So what Rabbi Yehuda means is you have a use for it. It goes as follows: we'll have in the Gemara Ksuvos, where the Gemara talks about a concept moide b'shtar shekosvu. You know, if a malva produces a shtar, he has to prove that the shtar is authentic. What happens to loivas that says yes, it's true, I borrowed the money, so he was mekayim the shtar personally, but then he said, but I paid it. So the question is, does he have a migu? Do we say pesha also pesha hit? The only way we know that this star is certified is because of the loiva, but he says he paid it. So therefore, one opinion says, Moed v'shtar shekosvu, tzodech l'kaima, the malva needs to authenticate it, otherwise the loiva doesn't have to pay. And the other one says, no, the loiva came to authenticate the star. And then, now the loiva is coming up with a new argument, I paid it, and the malva has a counter argument. If you paid it, how come I'm still holding on to the star? Why didn't you take it away from me, rip it up? Right? Shtoch be my boy, what you start doing by me? So that's the machlekes. So what does that have to do with us? Amar Abai. Abai Amar. Kuli alma osur lisa shtar peru. You're not allowed to maintain a shtar peru in your possession. We're arguing whether if the label was made, does the malva still have to seek supporting, corroborating evidence or not? The malva has to be mekayimit. Obviously, in other words, the label is potter until the malva can mekayimit. If the malva cannot be mekayimit, there's no point in continuing with the shtar. It has no use because the label is believed that he paid it off. And therefore, you are potter on Shabbos. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, moide b'shtar shekosu ein tzor lekayimit. We don't care if the loiva was b'shtetik the shtar, he's mekayim the shtar, that's it. And then the malva can't collect with it, so he still has a use for it. He has to collect from the loiva with it. So therefore, the malva is chayv v'kayz on the Shabbos. And so the b'raisa says, paid or didn't pay, according to the paid or not pay. So he teaches, what do you mean, shaloi paru misha paru? You know what it means? It means, achetoy me loiva parati v'loi parati. So the loiva says, I paid or I didn't pay. In other words, I'm made the b'shtar shekosu. Rava says, he says, Kuli Amad the Moed Mishtar Kosu Tzor Lekayimit. Everyone knows you have to be Mekayimit. In other words, the Lev is believed, Pesha Asa Pesha Hitu, because that's the Halacha. Say, Bazei, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? You still need it. Since you can't find anyone to corroborate the evidence, what do you need it for? Hacha, what use can you possibly have of the Shtar? Hacha Bekoisvin Shevig, do you write a receipt for a Shtar or not? Tanakama Sava Koisvin Shevig, Tanakama holds, you write a receipt for the shtar, therefore there's nothing to be gained by having this particular shtar. So once the loiva paid the shtar, if the malva carries the Shabbos, it's potter, because there's no need for it. And what about using it as a balastapa? We don't want him to use a balastapa, because the loiva says, I don't want you to use a balastapa, because maybe in 6 months, you malva will go ahead and try to collect again. On the other hand, if the malva doesn't give it back to the loiva doesn't need it either because he has a receipt. So there's no use for the shtar. We don't want it to stay by the malva because he might use it again. The loiva has no need for it because he has a receipt. So therefore, the shtar has no value. If you carry it, you're not chayiv on Shabbos. However, you discover ain't kosher shavu. You don't write a receipt. And therefore, the only proof that he has is if the loiva has the shtar by him. So therefore, it still has value. Rav Ashi says, Rav Ashi, you know what the loiva wants to start for? He, regardless of everything else, he wants to borrow money in the future from other people. And he can then show, look, I once borrowed money from Yankel and I paid it back. Here's my proof. So I'm a trustworthy person. My credit is good. He wants to show it to the second lender. Look at this person, the porano. I'm a person that pays. And therefore I am trustworthy. Okay, so that ends the Gemara today.